Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. And you are listening to the Nerdcast. But what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
Welcome back to another episode of the Nerdcast from Project Nerd. I almost said Project Nerd's Nerdcast, but Tyler didn't like that last week. So we're going with the Nerdcast from Project Nerd. Everybody's here today.
Hooray!
There we go.
I'm here. Me too.
Aaron, yes, Aaron included. So Aaron, Bob, Adam, Tyler, everybody say hello.
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 Hi.
All right. Enthusiastic there. Massive week. So we just need to really dive right in.
Did something happen this week?
There's a lot of things that have happened, actually.
Mucho things. Many things.
Including this giant pause.
Iggy looking like deer in the headlights there.
I was getting my web browser ready, and I thought I had muted myself.
You muted it all.
I'm a cow in the headlights, Bob. Muted. All right. So I was going to start on a more somber tone, of course, with the news out of from Nintendo. The CEO, Satoru Iwata, passing away. I think every one of us in here has played plenty of games that he has definitely had his hands on to some degree. So,
well, I mean, the big thing was everybody. I mean, not everybody. Most people. I feel like a lot of people in the States, in particular, have played with a Nintendo Wii, and he helped oversee that setup. Like he was the president and CEO of Nintendo while this was happening. I mean, you don't just he obviously had something to do with it. He didn't come up with it, but
That was a resurgence for Nintendo for sure. You know, they had all but kind of floundered away, and was a system that definitely was for a while outpacing the two next generation systems of the time.
Yeah, I don't know if you're gonna take something from his. I mean, that the Wii was huge, but it was definitely the DS because they were pretty much dead.
Oh yeah,
after the GameCube. And then the DS came out, and the number of DSs that have been sold since the original all the way up now to what, the 3DS XL, XXXSL, has been, I mean, like nothing has sold a handheld like they've sold a handheld. Like the number of
nothing has sold a console like they've sold a handheld.
Yeah, and the number of handhelds that have come and gone in the time since the first DS came out is crazy.
Phenomenal, yeah.
And no, yeah, you mentioned a few things in there. You're putting 3D into handheld gaming systems. You've changed the way handheld gaming was received. And then you even changed the way that people played video games at home with the Wii. So both of those, very innovative, I think often overlooked because they don't maintain the graphics or the game support the other, you know, Sony and Microsoft have, but definitely have, those systems have played a big, big role on gaming, especially when you look at family gaming and community gaming and having friends over and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it other than linking your two Xboxes together to play Halo in one house with the TVs facing opposite directions, like it brought family gaming to everybody. Not everybody could sit down and play Halo. Grandma's going to get destroyed at that. You can hand Grandma a Wii U remote and she can bowl, though, and probably beat you.
She can bowl hard, yo.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's yeah. My parents still play with their Wii. It's a big thing in our house.
Yeah. And that doesn't even touch the stuff he did before coming to Nintendo proper back when he was still a game developer for HAL, when things like Kirby, the work he did on the port of Earthbound, the work he did on Pokemon, the work he did on Super Smash Brothers. Because, I mean, unlike a lot of CEOs in the business, and actually unlike any CEO at Nintendo to that point, he was a game developer first and then an executive last. So it's something he pointed out every chance he got to make sure people know I'm a gamer first, a game developer second, and a CEO last.
So. Well, I was just about to say the article that Reed wrote for the site this week opens with a quote, and think of it exactly off the top of my head, but basically along those lines where he would say he's, you know, a CEO by title, developer by trade and a gamer by heart, something like along those lines. So definitely, you know, you play any kind of video games, like we said, in some degree, he's affected it for the better. So it is definitely a sad week for that event right there. Very interesting, though, that the day of his passing, the photos of the Nintendo headquarters with the rainbow over the top.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that's...
Following Rainbow Road to Heaven, I guess, huh?
That's what he would want. Yeah, exactly.
There you go. So a little bit more somber news in the gaming community. Right off the heels, though, of San Diego Comic-Con or Comic-Con International, to go proper with it. Big, big weekend. Of course, comics as well, always. It's still there as much as it's getting a little
is
big.
It? Yeah. Comics?
Yeah, it's still there. And we'll talk a little bit about Ben Templesmith's reaction to that as well. But of course, movies and television and even some video games. But, you know, movies and television definitely still in the show.
Movies and television, yeah.
Even stealing a lot of our content. You know, we put a lot of posts up and a lot of it related to that. I did want to bounce over into comics first, though. I wanted to, and let me see if I can get it pulled up without giving us too long of a pause again. The Eisner Awards, of course, announced every year at Comic-Con International, and wanted to point out one of the four creators introduced to the Eisner Hall of Fame included Frank Miller. So,
nice.
A well-known name. You know, a lot of those creators, you know, mainstream names may not stand out as much, but of course, Frank Miller has been influential in the comic game for quite some time. Really, let me say late 80s, Tyler, was his kind of his high point there. But his impact is now definitely being seen in movies. So,
well, that style is something different that,
yeah,
obviously Zack Snyder brought out, but that the technology really allows people to get into, which is pretty cool.
Now, in the Eisner Awards, Saga, of course, was the big winner again. I think that's two. It's only 2 years in a row for it to win Best Ongoing Series again. So, Saga is a very... I haven't read it. I don't know. Tyler, you're the other comic book guy in the group. Have you read Saga?
I've read part of the first, I guess, volume, you would say. But, I mean, it's fantastic, but I don't know enough about it to make a call. But, I mean, from what I've seen of it, the first few issues, it's pretty awesome.
I've glanced at it, you know, taking peeks at stores. I was at a Barnes & Noble just this weekend, and they had the first volume out on the shelf, but it was the last one they had, and it was all beat up, so I didn't grab it. But I've been tempted more and more. The more I hear about it, the more when we're out conventions and see about it, it's a big one. But Best Ongoing Series, IDW's Little Nemo, three different volumes of Little Nemo won three different awards, so pretty crazy. And then, of course, IDW with that was, they won two awards for Little Nemo. Another independent publisher won the third award for using the legend of Little Nemo. ID Publishing did come out on top with three wins. But something I wanted to point out, and Adam, I think you were the one who's had the chance to chat with them too, our new pals over at Magnetic Press, first year publishing. And unfortunately, they didn't grab any wins, but they did get two nominations at the Eisner Awards in their first year publishing. That's very impressive.
Wow. Oh, yeah. And talking with those guys, it was clear that, one, they were really excited about that because they already had the noms. But clear that, you know, this isn't going to be an aberration for them. They're going out there getting some amazing stuff and getting it out where people can see it. So that's exciting to see that. You know, people going out and finding smaller books, self-published books, and bringing them in and getting them out to a mass audience. That's really, really cool.
It is. It is. So, they had some good work there, but the, of course, Eisner Awards, the full list of nominees and winners are posted on our site as part of our, Comic-Con International coverage. All right. I wanted to get that one there because I knew once we got to this juicy stuff that everybody'd start going crazy. So what are we starting with? What was the big highlights from Comic-Con International this weekend?
I don't know if there's a way. There were so many cool things. There were so many things, weird cancellations, bad things, but I don't know if anyone could have walked away from maybe not the actual show, but from the coverage of this Comic-Con and not say that the big winner was Star Wars in a big way. I mean, number one, they didn't pull any punches. They got everyone out on stage. They talked about everything. They threw a giant concert. So they gave something for people who weren't at Comic-Con, but they gave some special stuff for people who weren't at Comic-Con that wasn't poorly thought out. We can keep this video under wraps secretly forever. But I think they were the... I mean, I'm definitely a slightly biased, but I think they were the big winner.
You win instantly when you have most of the people on stage talking about it, and then you have a question of, well, how is Harrison Ford doing? Well, let's find out. And he walks out on stage. It's pretty solid. And, of course, for him and Carrie Fisher to exchange the I love you, I know, or I still love you, I know, still. I still know is what he said. Yeah. So well done. Well done just with that alone. Like, if they did nothing else, that alone would justify them being talked about as the winners of the weekend. But I agree. Their panel was huge. And yeah, they pulled no punches. They had everybody out there. They told people ahead of time, we're not going to do new footage. We just released footage for Star Wars Days, you know, or for Star Wars Day. It was, Star Wars Day, but their own
celebration,
you know, celebration,
yeah, celebration. Thank you. But it was, yeah, a huge event. And then, yeah, taking everybody out the back door, Hall H, for a concert is pretty cool. Other exciting things from this weekend. I'm trying to give you all opportunities to talk. I mean, I could just go a million miles a minute about this weekend.
I mean, other than that, for me, it's gotta be Daredevil, right? Like
Daredevil.
I mean,
Deadpool
or Deadpool. Yeah. Sorry. Deadpool. One of those Marvel guys in a red suit. I don't know. No, it's gotta be Deadpool. Like the footage, everything I saw from Ryan Reynolds on like Twitter and social media, like his social media game is ridiculously good to begin with.
Not even his, like other people in the movie, because he posted the picture of Deadpool with the sombrero and the sign hiking, you know, Comic-Con, por favor. And then other members of the cast photoshopped their heads over that and were reposting the picture on Twitter.
Oh, and they tweeted lyrics to a song too, just so you know, which was the theme to Golden Girls. So, I mean, their social media is phenomenal. The presentation that they did where they showed the video and then everybody started chanting one more time and the guy with the microphone's like, yeah, I can do that. We're going to do that again. Yes, one more time. And they played it again, like,
now, I noticed you said the guy at the microphone.
Well, Chris Hardwick. He didn't have to. Chris Hardwick lives in Hall H at Comic-Con.
Everybody knows who he is, right?
So, but not only that, I feel like it is perfect. We talked about it ahead of time. We'll probably talk about it again on the show. Warner Brothers being upset about the sharing of the Suicide Squad trailer. I feel like that's exactly what the Deadpool team wanted, was it for it to be shared in a like illegal, as Warner Brothers called it, way, a bootleg version from a cell phone in a convention hall, not even widescreen, like the
I don't even, I mean, I don't even think the thing is that that's what the Fox wanted. It's that Fox isn't stupid and has been to Hall H before and knows that that's what's going to happen regardless of whether or not you act like a child about it.
I agree with that.
Okay with it. And then they came out and said, hey, we haven't released it yet. We're going to release it in about 3 weeks, but the VX isn't done. Like the VFX isn't done. It's not where we want it at, but we're not going to go throw a fucking hissy fit because someone posted a video online.
Well, I know that, but I mean, I feel like it's perfect marketing for Deadpool.
Oh, I mean, it fits.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it fits. But I think you're attributing too much. I don't know what the word is.
Giving CEOs of movie studios too much credit. Is that what you're saying?
I think you're giving the people a little bit too much credit, specifically the lawyers. Because I mean, I've read the statement from Warner Brothers. I don't know how many times now, and it's just like literally. Have you guys ever been to Comic-Con before?
No, they must have not.
Have you ever used the internet or social media before?
I mean, you would hope so, but
I understand. I understand that you're upset, and I understand that you didn't want it released, and I understand that you maybe want it taken down. But once it's out, you don't get to throw a little hissy fit about it.
Like, just
release it. And if you decide we're going to release it, cool. Release it and be like, hey, it got out there. Fine. Here it is for everyone. Don't, hey, here it is for everyone. But by the way, we're very disappointed in all of you and very upset.
I still can't understand why they would be bitching and complaining because, hey, it's publicity. You know, that's what the whole.
And to be fair, like the cynic in me says that maybe they're acting like that to try and drum up more interest for it. But at the same time, like I don't want to give them too much credit either.
We'll jump into it and then we'll get our thoughts on the Deadpool trailer. But the Suicide Squad trailer is what we're talking about. Warner Brothers releasing the statement. We've done all we could to collect all the illegal versions of it out there and have been unable to. So we're going to go ahead and release the high def version the way it was intended to be seen. But this was meant for a special gift to those at Comic-Con. To me, that was a slap in the face in many ways. Like you guys are complaining about the ignorance of them not realizing, Hall H for how many years this has been a problem or a thing. But the fact that, because we didn't, people didn't have the money, people didn't have the time, you can only fit so many people in Hall H, you're going to say, well, this wasn't meant for you. This was only meant for these.
I think a lot of people get upset about quote unquote Comic-Con exclusives. Comic-Con exclusives will always be a thing. And I don't have a problem with them being a thing, but Comic-Con exclusives are not videos. Comic-Con exclusives are a variant cover or a figurine or an experience like the Star Wars concert or the panel or the signing. It's not a video that you're trying to keep under wraps. Like stop pretending like this, maybe 15 years ago, that was a thing. Like you got to, and it was a thing like Comic-Con, even before movies and TV were a big thing, people would see a movie months in advance. People would see a pilot, months in advance and get to see it. And then you'd hear about it word of mouth and drive it. That doesn't work anymore. And they need to stop pretending like it can.
Yeah, and that's probably why you mentioned pilots. They used to show full-blown pilots at Comic-Con International. They don't so much anymore. And probably
still. A lot of them got shown. The Expanse's full pilot got shown.
Oh, did they? Okay.
I think, what's the Lucifer? Or there's like two different devil ones. So there was a lot of pilots that still get shown.
I stand corrected. I will, in Warner Brothers, I don't want to say in their defense, but...
Don't say defense. I'll come and get you.
I said understanding why they're upset about it. My opinion on the trailer, seeing it in that bootleg version compared to my opinion on the trailer and watching in high def, completely different experience.
Yeah.
Versions were so terrible. And afterwards, I was still just on fire about anger about some of those characters. And then you watch it in the high def version, you can actually hear Jared Leto's laugh. And you can actually get that vision of him, even with his stupid ass tattoos and all the things like that. You still were like, okay, Leto is the Joker. That part alone, because the rest of it was like, oh, thank you, Will Smith, for telling me you're part of a Suicide Squad, because we couldn't figure that out. Or hey, Margot Robbie, why don't you put a little effort? I understand Harley Quinn's changed costumes how many times in the past 20 years, but give a little effort to at least sound somewhat like a Harley Quinn. Like things like that drove me crazy.
She said like what, two words in the whole thing?
No, she says a few sentences, but it's very, it's very like her voice is just, hey, this is Margot Robbie's voice. Like, this is it.
I don't know. I had less problems with any of the characterization shown in it and more problems with what appears to be way too much work putting into making them, I don't want to say sympathetic characters, but you definitely get the feeling that they took some pretty horrifically bad supervillains and are trying to turn them into a good man pushed too far, or he had a good reason, or and then I feel like watching that trailer, I feel like the main protagonist is probably, and it has been in the comics a lot of time, is going to be Amanda Waller, who I think whoever that character was they had playing her was pretty interesting.
Viola Davis
from the that's another great, like, and we've said it many a times, Warner Brothers on the casting side has done a phenomenal job.
Yeah, but it definitely set the stage for some of these people are really bad. Some of them aren't really bad. They just did bad things. And I think it sets up for a third act where it's half the Suicide Squad versus the other half of the Suicide Squad.
Well, I read something. It's like bad versus evil now on the Suicide Squad instead of, bad versus bad.
Well, spoilers, if they're following, I don't even remember the name of the graphic novel that is probably the Suicide Squad's most famous run. If you're following that, you're sending them in to Arkham or then maybe somewhere else for this to kill. Well, the Riddler is the story in the comic, but to kill somebody. And the whole reason Harley Quinn agrees to it is because she goes there to free the Joker. And then it creates that. It does create a kickstorm or a shitstorm, more appropriately, of like them. So, I mean, if you are setting it up, you are at least following some of the source. But I agree. I agree. That tone is painted in there.
There's no one in the Suicide Squad that is a good guy. Is a good guy done wrong by the system.
I mean, it depends on how you follow Deadshot.
Deadshot would be the closest. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. But no,
they did,
no.
They did show him with, like, I guess,
hugging like a daughter or something like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the cool part about the Gotham villains is that all of them think that they're the good guy done wrong. So it'll be
good point.
Well, that makes a good villain is a person who thinks they're in the right. The problem is I don't want you to try and make me think that they're in the right. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's why there's the stories, because it's they're good villains and we want to follow them because
I don't know. The trailer still, I'm not like crazy excited for this. I was excited when they announced the cast, they announced the, you know, I'm like, oh, it's perfect. And then you start getting more of it. And then you see the shots of the Joker and all this, and you're just like, and then I see the bootleg trailer and I literally was like ready to just not even see it next year. And then I saw this trailer and was like, you know what? Of course I'm going to give it a shot. It's a DC movie.
You guys like invest way too much into trailer, because you can't make opinions about it until you actually see it. Like, wait until you see it, and then
this is our job as critics.
You have super strong opinions about things you've never seen before.
Never even seen the trailer before. Never seen the trailers for Kingsman, and you hate it just because of the title.
That's right.
Using my words all the time. I didn't say anything bad about it. I just said, I thought that sounded boring. Like, okay.
You just said that sentence, and that proves
you're
it right there
to
enough.
Use a trailer to pique your interest in something, not determine whether or not it's going to be the best movie of all time. That's not what he said, though.
What he said was that he saw the trailer and it didn't make him want to watch it anymore. The whole purpose of the trailer is to make you want to watch it more. Like, that's why you make a trailer.
And then I went back on my words and said, when I saw it in high def, I did.
Well, for me, the bigger issue with the trailer is that Tyler's exactly right. If you're presenting a video at Comic-Con, especially for a big budget movie, that trailer's going to get out.
Oh, yeah.
And so if what you're worried about is a crappy version of the trailer getting out, you have a couple options. Don't show the trailer or release the HD version as soon as that your session in Hall H is done. Show it.
Warner Brothers, that's it.
Just game over.
Warner Brothers should have taken a note from Warner Brothers on how they handle the Superman versus Batman trailer and just release it out there. You know, if they would have listened to their own damn selves, this whole problem would have not been.
Exactly. They know how to do it. They've done it before. They did it an hour before. And they just like completely, people won't care about Suicide Squad. Oh yeah. Okay. Good call. Nicely done. Created their own issue.
Speaking of that, so the other trailer, since we'll just annoy Aaron here with breaking down trailers even further, Superman v. Batman, Dawn versus Justice. That's how I feel about the movie, though. It's all just a butchered mess. Anyways, so you got my opinions. Anyways, so thoughts on that one, which we did get the high def trailer right off the bat.
As much as I want to, I'm done. I'm done picking it apart. I'm done trying to figure out what the fuck they're thinking. Like, I'm just going to, I'm checked out until it's in theaters. I will go and see it. And then at that point, either all of my fears will be confirmed or maybe they're pulling out of this tailspin that they're in at Warner Brothers, but I'm not, my hopes are not high.
Yeah.
They might surprise you.
Are they going to start letting the people who do the Warner Brothers TV shows do the final cut on the movie? Or make the movie, or do any reshoots, or anything like that. If Warner Brothers TV is not involved, I don't believe that they're going to make a earth-shattering movie. It might be perfectly fine. I'm not excited about it. Nothing in the trailer piqued my interest. I saw people picking it apart scene by scene and stuff like that. And nope, I'm okay.
I mean, there's so much that in there that could be good. Like, there's little glimpses of this and a little of that, but the only stuff that really gets you going are the aha moments and the reveals, like the Easter eggs for the fan. Like, oh, cool, Superman pulled doors off of the Batmobile and then they face each other. Or I don't know. There's just so much. It's such a mishmash of like, let's throw shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Exactly.
Hopefully maybe something. Oh crap. We haven't shown Wonder Woman yet. Let's shoehorn her in for like three quick cuts. And then let's make sure that we put the, uh, you know, Superman as a Christ figure seen in there where he's like hovering over dying people in the sunlight. I mean, it's just a mishmash of symbolism and Easter eggs. And let's take this from this version of Batman and this version of Superman. And I don't know. I'm just over trying to like analyze or decide, make it. I'm done. Like, just make the movie. I'll go see it. I'm not going to not see it. And once I've seen it, then we'll make decisions about it. But it's just not even worth talking about it anymore. we've beat the Batman v Superman thing to death, and it's still another year before it comes out.
Well, Bob, do you want 2 seconds in there before Tyler shuts us down on this conversation?
I pretty much agree with Tyler completely. I mean, it's amazing that I do, but yeah. Yeah, it is.
I do appreciate that line in there, though.
I mean, really, it's just overload. I mean, hell, they reversed a scene from Man of Steel when Wayne Financial Building is crumbling. It's actually the reverse shot from Man of Steel when one of the buildings falls down. You actually see the same people in front of the building. You know, it's kind of like going back to Superman 4, where they repeated the same shot of Superman flying out in the atmosphere. There are moments, like you said, there are moments that were really good. Like I said, that Superman ripping the doors off the Batmobile, I thought that was kind of cool. Jesse Eisenberg, I still am out on that one. I just don't know. I don't know. And Holly Hunter as the senator. It's like I said, I think I'm just going to have to wait till it comes out and then deal from there.
Yeah. Eisenberg, no, not impressive at all in that trailer. I'll put it flat out there. Affleck, I'm excited about. I think he did all right. There wasn't anything though that made me as Bruce Wayne be like, okay, this is going to be great, but I'm still not worried about it. Wonder Woman. I don't know. I don't know. A brief couple scenes, but she seemed to be okay in that. And
she looked like she could kick ass.
Yeah. I wasn't heartbroken by it, I guess, anymore to say it. I will agree. We spent half our last episode on that, so we won't go too far into it, but, definitely check it out. If you haven't, we do have it posted on the site with my scene by scene breakdown, Adam.
we are finally going to get, the full story on the whole. How did Bruce's parents die, though? Which I feel like is a totally underdeveloped story.
Thank you. I wasn't picking up on the sarcasm there. Although,
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
This is I know, I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and I'm excited about him being as Thomas Wayne, but this is now the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9th feature length Batman movie. And every single one of them has the Thomas Martha Wayne scene in it, not counting every comic book, cartoon, and every other Batman franchise ever. But I swear to God, we get it. Batman
the ride.
Not Thomas Wayne and Martha Wayne on their way out of the theater. And Bruce
and everyone is different. Yeah. Everyone is different. I mean, he has more parents than,
yeah. They definitely feel like they're taking, that's the other thing about, like, they're definitely doing the hodgepodge thing. Cause I definitely got, there's definitely bits of Dark Knight Rises. Or not Dark Knight Rises, Dark Knight Returns. There's definitely bits of, even like when I said with Superman, Man of Steel, they felt like they took a lot from the storyline of Superman Earth One. I feel like this one definitely has some Batman Earth One with the much more svelte and badass, what's his name? Alfred, as played by Jeremy Irons. I don't know. There's a hodgepodge going on. There's a lot of going on in that thing.
I mean, they even threw the Joker in there as well, too. I mean,
Robin, so Death in the Family sampled a little bit there. No, you do have a lot. It's crazy. It's exciting, and for us not to keep talking about it, we sure do keep talking about it. So, I will say, didn't we open these trailers up with Deadpool though? So what did we talked about the panel? We talked about Fox with that. So what about the trailer itself?
Of what?
Of Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Oh God, it was awesome.
I think it was just what you want. Yeah.
They nailed it. They nailed it.
Yeah, and that's the same thing. I'm not gonna like he was saying about the you were saying about the Suicide Squad one. There's not enough there yet to make a judgment call. Like I'll wait till they two, three weeks from now release the full HD official version of it to make a judgment call. But there was enough there to make me think that they might actually be doing this right.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
I'm pretty stoked for it.
Yeah, from the just the feel and tone, I guess, from the trailer, if they can manage to spread that across however long they end up making the movie, I feel like not much more than 2 hours probably, but if they can spread that feel and that tone that they had in the trailer across that time, it's going to be it'll be a fun movie. And I think that's what everybody wants.
I think they can too. I think they there's been a mission since day one, since this got the green light again, you know, after that footage, after everything, I think there's been that mission to make sure they do this right. So
Aaron,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I thought the panel with Ryan Reynolds and the director, I mean, I thought it was really interesting. I mean, like I said, they talked about trying to get this going for over 11 years. And then even Ryan Reynolds made the comment that he would have done it for free just as long as they didn't sew his mouth shut.
And can we give some love for TJ Miller on this too? Like just his time on the panel, just the clips with him in it, like when they're talking about
the horse comment.
I'm excited that TJ Miller is going to be in it alone. Like he's just gotten funnier and funnier the more he's been in things. Watching him in Silicon Valley has been hilarious, but he's pretty funny. Okay, so Aaron, before we cut away from trailers that you don't seem too happy about, any trade? Do you got like 30 seconds? Any trailer notes you want to add?
Nah.
All right. Well, we'll move along then. So plenty going on at Comic-Con International with the movie trailers, but we'll move on. There was even more, of course, beyond that was shared. Footage from Age of Apocalypse. Adam is muted right now. He's laughing so hard. This is the part where even though we're not sharing the video yet because we just don't have time to get it all edited and out, we're definitely recording because we want these clips right here to where Adam can't even handle himself. So anyway, back to comics. There was one really big thing that I was super excited about. And I saw a picture of it posted and I thought it was just fan art. Here's Batman in Gotham City with four Ninja Turtles. It's fan art. And then Tyler sends us a private message. Iggy, have you lost your mind yet? Are you losing it yet?
No, I said, Iggy, is your body ready?
Oh, is your body ready? So I clicked on the link and I'm like, oh, this is real. This is real. So DC Comics and IDW Publishing have agreed to a 6-month, 6-part crossover series featuring the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Batman, two of my most favorite things ever in the world. I don't know. I just, that's the most exciting thing for me to come out of Comic-Con International.
He wet himself.
I'm curious as to where the setting is though.
Gotham City. So Shredder is experimenting with, hopping dimensions, which they did in the cartoon and the comics before. So they hopped dimensions and ended up in the sewers of Gotham City. And of course, Batman sniffs it out right away. You know, he's going to, oh, something's going on in my sewers. So
he's got a dimensional like monitor.
Probably
the Batcave. Knows what's going on. Yeah.
Batcave went off. I wouldn't even be surprised to be honest. Cause it is campy as the Ninja Turtles can be at time. I wouldn't be surprised if they just show up right in the Batcave, let alone the sewers. Like
he's got to have a drain in the Batcave. So, I mean, it's totally reasonable that they can get right to him. No problems.
I just know Michelangelo needs to be hounding Alfred for some pizza the entire 6-series run. That's all I know is I want a serious Alfred and I want the Ninja Turtles bugging him about making pizza.
I need Donatello to like fix something or improve something or like tinker with the Batmobile or something like that.
or just geek out about the technology in the Batcave.
You're not as weirded out because as soon as I heard about that, it just kind of weirds me out.
How does it weird you out? This is weird. This is like your two best friends in your entire life finally deciding it's time to get married, like when you knew it should happen the whole time. So now when you want to visit your two best friends, you can just visit one place and you got them both together. Like that's
for 6 months.
Yeah.
Was there anything that came out of Comic-Con this weekend, Aaron, that you're either A, into or B, excited about?
Tyler, I'm disappointed. Tyler, I'm disappointed you don't have the whiteboard that you talked about last week.
Because you're not really into trailers. You're weirded out by Donatello and Michelangelo and Leonardo hanging out with Batman.
Yeah.
Got to be something.
Weird to me. I mean, no, but I'm a purist when it comes to things like food. Okay.
He's a purist when it comes to comic book things because stuff like this never happens in the comic book world.
I like
or in Gotham like City, there's no
ice cream.
In Gotham City, there's no creatures like that, like a giant bat that's a man, or maybe a crocodile. Like, there's nothing like that in Gotham City.
Just because they're two good things, they don't need to go together.
Reese's peanut butter cups say hello.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a thing in and of itself. That's
s'mores,
like,
but it's like two Oreos. Things together. It's chocolate and it's peanut butter, and they're amazing.
S'mores, Oreos,
like Batman. Oreos.
You're just it's like you're purposely identifying things that are awesome and disliking them out of spite.
That's not true.
And I don't understand it.
Hold on, guys. I need
being a bit of a Debbie Downer.
I need to mute her right now. You can't knock on the Ninja Turtles Batman stuff. By the way, I will be ordering all of them, and I will be ordering a duplicate copy that we can have for Erin, and we're going to all make her read them. Like, we're going to, like, force them.
The way that you guys were talking about it with so much love, and the way that you were like, oh, and then Donatello can like, work with the Batmobile, like, that... That kind of does sound cool.
Oh, I'm sorry that we're like 30. I'm sorry. We grew up.
It's not like they're completely changing the world. First of all, it's two very, very, be clear with this, fictional universes that are going to come together to have some fun for like six issues. Like, yeah. We're not allowed to get pumped. And it's official. We're not allowed to get pumped about that.
No, you know, Erin. Am I not allowed to be weirded out by it? Because you're being pretty hostile towards me.
So you know, Erin, this won't affect the movies at all. This won't affect their normal ongoing series, any of them. So all that is protected, and it will stay pure for
it's
you.
It's like a taboo flavor. Like they say that you're not supposed to put cheese on fish because it's like weird. Like. This is a weird flavor.
You seem to have very strong feelings about something that you're not really all that invested in.
I'm more concerned that she just compared either the Ninja Turtles or Batman to fish.
I'm not all that invested in Batman or the Ninja Turtles. Are you serious?
It seems that way.
Yeah.
They're like my favorite things.
Before we move on to anything else.
Find them.
Before we move on to anything else with Comic-Con, Erin, can you share with us something that came out of the weekend that you were really excited about?
Like...
anything.
Like, what are you talking about?
Like, just what happened at Comic-Con last weekend that you were super excited about?
I read this article that Ben Templesmith went and sat in a bar and didn't go to Comic-Con.
Oh, no. So, there we go. Erin has dethroned Tyler as the hipster of the podcast here. She's too cool to like anything out of Comic-Con.
No, that's technically, she's liking something outside of Comic-Con.
So it's not even Comic-Con.
Yeah, but part of the reason why I'm not like super excited, and I really tried, I'm going to sound like a total asshole.
Watch yourself, because your page numbers are already going down this week, so you don't want to destroy it too much more. I'm just saying.
Okay, the reason why I don't even really like thinking about it is because I couldn't be there. So I am just a sad panda sitting here moping at home. I just pretended like San Diego Comic-Con wasn't going on this last weekend because I couldn't be there. So,
moving on.
And Hall H is just too mainstream.
Too mainstream for her. She's across the street at the bar with Ben Templesmith hanging out.
I would like to do that.
I was going to say, let's talk about it. Since we brought it up, we said earlier we'd bring it up. So Ben Templesmith of the Squitter, we covered both his independent release and the IDW packaging of it, reviewed on the site. Of course, he was, I think what really kickstarted him was the 30 Days of Night, doing the artwork there.
Yep.
Definitely a unique artist. He wasn't the only one, though. We being in this community, we've connected with a lot of artists and creators, especially ones that aren't like... getting, you know, at the Eisner Awards and stuff like that. So I don't mean that as anything insulting. I mean that they're just not as huge or big names yet. So a lot of them that depend on that Artist Alley traffic and Artist Alley money is what I'm trying to get at. And a few of them gave some, you know, feedback and have over the past few years about San Diego Comic-Con. So Temple Smith kind of just took it into his own hands and set up at the bar across street, didn't even pay for a booth at Comic-Con International, took commissions and hung out all weekend from like 9-10 hours a day at this bar, drinking, drawing, eating, and just having people come hang out with them at the table. Pretty cool idea. Wouldn't mind being there too to talk to him.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Just the 5 minutes that I got to talk to him in Chicago, like, this is a dude I could hang out with and just have a really interesting conversation with. Like, he is totally down to earth and really kind of out there and at the same time, which is very bizarre. I think it's a fantastic idea.
According to Ben, by the way, your that guy with the beard. Yeah, that's Adam.
Yeah, I do believe I said that was my favorite thing about Chicago C2E2 this year was that he complimented my beard and that right
there. And that's over now.
But I mean, I think that's become significantly more and more common over the last few years is that there are a lot of satellite events or signings or things that go on in the vicinity of the convention center. And every year there's something big, there's stuff going out on parking lots and yards and lawns and bars and other things nearby.
I mean, not everybody can get inside the convention center. I mean, so it's a great way to basically sell yourself, sell your products.
You know? Yeah. No, it's, you know, and he gets set up at the bar. Like, he didn't even really tell me he was doing this. So he went out there and just sat down for free. And as long as, you know, people are buying drinks and food, the bar's not going to complain.
The bar was happy. I mean, he was.
Well, yeah, he's bringing people in and they've got at least one table moving money the whole day, you know. But even last year, I can't remember what video game publisher was it that rented out Petco Park. The baseball stadium. Oh,
whoever did Borderlands.
Oh, was it Borderlands? That's right. It wasn't even a publisher. It was just the game itself. Yeah.
Gearbox or something like that.
They had the Borderlands experience at Petco Park. This year, Assassin's Creed had it outside, still close enough to the convention center. But yeah, these things are growing, expanding. You see a lot of, content sites like ours, you know, review sites, the coverage sites and stuff that'll set up, that'll rent rooms at hotels or lobbies or something that have views of it. And just set up an interview area and do video and coverage of it from there. And then try to get out on the streets and get coverage too, instead of spending too much time in the venue. So it gets harder and harder to get through there. I think things we brought up over the past couple of years, not saying I don't ever want to go there, but it's not the highest priority to spend that much money to wait in so many lines. And I think especially as people like us who go there for content, would probably spend a lot of time checking out those other areas because it'd be easier to get to and get to those people to talk to. So
it feels like you need a lot of money to be able to enjoy Comic-Con International, which I think is it's understandable with the demand, supply and demand, you know, basic economics, but I think it's unfortunate in terms of what it can be because I would love to go, but it's legitimately impossible. As much as it costs, it might as well cost $1 million. Because I don't have the money, so
I mean, even with the free passes, you know, we'd be sacrificing another 3 to 4 shows a year to just make it out there. So
yeah, well, heck, I mean, even if we try to get into some of these panels, I mean, Hall H, people were camped out overnight. They were camped out for like 10 hours to get into Star Wars.
Yeah, I was going to say. Speaking of winning the weekend Star Wars, they had that line. You see the pictures of that, Tyler?
Yeah.
That was Episode 1-esque. Like, that was people camping out in front of theaters for weeks at a time kind of thing. But, I mean, Hall H, that's what Hall H has become. They're not the only one that had people staying up overnight to get
in. No, Zack Snyder showed up the night before for the Batman versus Superman panel, rolled up in the Batmobile to hang out with the people in line and show them the Batmobile as kind of a thanks. That was a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams brought donuts and everything to the people during the night on the Star Wars.
You know, now standing in line doesn't sound so bad. Donuts, Batmobile.
Although they were talking about all the cockroaches that were running around the grounds and people crawling over people who were sleeping there, and then there were mice that were
way to bring it down, Bob.
That's because people were dropping donuts. Yeah, and that's how you get cockroaches.
That's how you get ants.
Cockroaches.
I mean, you're in San Diego where it never freezes. So the bug problem's probably going to be significant there.
And they were talking about that it was cold during the night. People had all their blankets and everything. They were actually freezing, like, they said.
San Diego cold.
Like, it doesn't get super hot and it doesn't get super cold down by the water.
The ocean. Yeah, the ocean breeze was coming up and people who were from Arizona were having a little bit of the chills. They had to get... I don't know. Cool experience. But yeah, Ben Templesmith, pretty cool. You can check out, I don't even remember what site we shared, but there's multiple sites that did coverage of him over there. And he brought it up on all his stuff as well. So if you follow him on any social media, you already know this. If you don't follow him on social media, we highly recommend it.
Probably do it. Yeah, for sure.
All right. So let's move into television. We're doing a pretty good job with this. We're kind of lumping things together, which is, I know we don't like to stay on point and it's hard, but with how much stuff went on last weekend, and then we also have our own event to talk about here before this is over, we're doing a pretty good job. So television, Tyler, I'm going to let you take the reins here.
Biggest one for me, and it's one I've been looking forward to for a while, is people at Comic-Con got to see the full pilot episode of The Expanse, which is the new sci-fi series coming this fall. Based on the Expanse book series by James S.A. Corey, which is a pen name for Ty Frank and Daniel Abraham. And it looks fantastic. They had a trailer out a couple months back that looked really good, but from the buzz from people who saw the full trailer saw the full pilot, that it's not only amazing, but it's all the things that sci-fi used to do brought back. You know, it's a big, sprawling. I love the books. If anyone wants to check them out, Leviathan Wakes is the first one in the series. Once again, the author's name is James S.A. Corey. I'm just kidding. But they're fantastic. So the buzz for that has been super strong. The buzz for, obviously, Game of Thrones had a big panel, as did The Walking Dead. People were still way on board with those. Mm-hmm. They showed the full pilot for, what is it, Limitless?
Wait, before we move on, Aaron, we can get her excited for Star Wars. Gwendolyn Christie was not only there for the Game of Thrones panel, she was there for the Star Wars panel, because she will be episode 7.
And
Captain Phasma. She's the big, have you seen the trailer for Star Wars?
Yeah.
She's the big chrome stormtrooper.
What? That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's going to be great.
There was the pilot for Limitless, which is a...
Is it based on the movie? Or?
It's based on the movie starring Bradley Cooper, which everyone said the pilot was amazing, which I'm impressed by, because the movie is not.
The movie wasn't bad. The movie's fun.
The movie,
if they get too serious, it's a problem, but it's a fun movie.
It was a cool movie. I liked it.
It's a bad take on Flowers for Algernon. I did not enjoy it.
Oh, no. Well, but it was good.
A guy does a thing and gets smart and then feels himself getting dumb again. And
you can't overdo that ever. It's like with Freaky Friday type movies, like two people switching bodies so they can see what each other's life is like. It's the best. And somebody getting super smart and seeing what could happen. Well, obviously I would love it, because it's all about a hypothetical situation and what would happen.
I don't know. It's pretty on the nose with the whole Flowers for Algernon thing.
Like, all
the
right.
Man. But anyway, but apparently the buzz from the pilot was fantastic. Other than that, I'm trying to think other TV-esque things that came out of it.
I know most of us are over it, but The Walking Dead, big season 6 premiere, and then the Fear of the Walking Dead series premiere, which I think that debuts, what, August 22nd, 23rd? And then October is when Walking Dead's – it's the final season, if I'm correct, right?
No, they're still going on.
What? It needs to be the final season at this point.
But, yeah, Fear of the Walking Dead, it's going to be like – it's kind of like the original Walking Dead. It was like a 6-episode first season. So they're going to do like 6 episodes, and then that will go into season 6 of The Walking Dead. Fear of the Walking Dead looks really interesting. Like I said, it's all about the leading up to the plague, or whatever you want to call it. The poster, if you haven't seen the poster, it's absolutely amazing. Southern California beach. You see a carnival on the pier, and then you see footprints in the sand on the left footprint. It's normal, but the right footprint is just dragging. Like it's a zombie walking in the sand. It's really cool. So I'm actually really excited about that one.
If there's anything that Bob gets as excited about movie trailers, Aaron, it's also movie posters. He does love them.
I got my anime poster.
There you go. But The Walking Dead, and then of course BBC had a few trailer debuts out there too, or a couple at least.
Sherlock.
Christmas special with Victorian Sherlock, which I think looks like fun.
And then of course new series of Doctor Who during the Doctor Who panel. So
there was a full pilot shown for Supergirl. General consensus was, if you like The Flash, you'll probably like Supergirl. It has that same sort of has that same sensibility, a little bit funny, a little bit quirky.
I feel like that's a good fit for Supergirl.
Yeah. A Little Devil Wears Prada with Calista Flockhart. The buzz for Blind Spot, super not strong, but mainly the pilot was just the premise. I really, really like Jamie Alexander, but the premise seems a little ridiculous. That's the one with the naked tattoo girl waking up in Times Square, and the tattoos are all clues to solve something. The buzz around Containment, with the mystery virus in Atlanta, not strong. The Lucifer one, apparently people loved it.
Is there really a TV show with a mystery virus based in Atlanta going up against Fear the Walking Dead?
Containment tells the story of an outbreak of a mystery virus in Atlanta, the attempts to figure out its origins, and the harsh quarantine enacted by the government in the response. So it's less like post-apocalyptic and more like the people are like actual police officers, doctors,
special. More like Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, basically.
They have a set already for them, Adam. They might as well save some money. I do want to point out, though, I love that Tyler's Brett. I feel like I'm listening to like was that See It in Money or whatever.
NBC. Got a ticker?
Tyler's like, and stock is up on this show and stock is down on this one. And
I don't know. I mean, and then speaking of just television, but not stuff that's coming up in the fall, I used to be a huge fan of the show. Since moving to TBS, I have fallen. My following of like Conan O'Brien has waxed and waned from month to month. I'll watch all of his remotes on his YouTube channel, and every now and then I'll catch the show. But his weekend live at Comic-Con was kind of awesome. If you haven't been to his YouTube channel to watch any of some of the segments he did, it's pretty amazing.
His Mad Max opening
with Andy was pretty awesome.
That was hysterical. That was
Erin pointed out, one of her friends, because she's good at pointing that stuff out, but a member in the Kansas City cosplayer is actually the one who made the mask for Andy Richter in that.
I wasn't scene. Even going to say it.
I was pointing it out. Like,
I know
what's
that guy.
What's his name?
That mask.
Wow.
What's his name?
Yeah. Mason Bartlett. I interviewed him for the cosplay.
The Bartletts, the two, they had the big armor. Bob did a gallery for him.
The father and son who did one was the Crusader from Diablo. Yep.
Yeah. They made the mask for Andy Richter, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
But Conan O'Brien nailed it. The other thing too is his last, his Saturday night showing.
Yeah.
Everybody in the audience got pop vinyls only available to the audience
of Conan O'Brien.
Conan O'Brien pop vinyl. Number two was Batman Conan O'Brien pop vinyl. Number three was Zombie Conan O'Brien, and then
was the fourth one Flaming Sea. The Flaming Sea.
No, it was Conan O'Brien's monster. So it was Frankenstein, Conan O'Brien. Oh.
If it had been the Flaming Sea, it would have been the greatest thing ever.
No, but I'm sure you can find those on eBay. I'm considering looking there myself, because that was the only way you could get them, was actually being in the audience for that Saturday night one. So,
but yeah, but I mean, they had some cool remotes, some cool bits and segments. But then he did an interview with the entire cast of, like, Game of Thrones. He did one with Peter Capaldi. He did one with everyone from Walking Dead. He did one with all the people from X-Men Apocalypse, which was a really fun one.
All right. So we're going to wrap up Comic-Con, because we do have a couple other huge things to talk about. But as you can see, just like every year, Comic-Con International was massively packed with exciting news, all kinds of things from comics, movies, television, a lot of greatness going on there. So if you don't, if you haven't seen enough, of course, you can check us out, projectnerd.com. We have some coverage. If it's coverage we're missing, some other great sites, I'll go ahead and plug some other sites. I think Newsarama did a great job, comicbook.com, comic book resource, you know, those typical ones. Actually, if they were nominated as one of the sites to cover comics at the Eisner Awards, then they're going to have some good coverage on San Diego Comic-Con. So check check us
what's
out.
What's the Gawker one? IO9 had some, and Kotaku had some pretty good stuff too.
Gawker. I can't even believe you said that word on my podcast. But
I don't like Gawker, but IO9's pretty good.
And I
like Deadspin.
All right. So with that, I did want to talk a couple things about movies. So in between, we saw a funny picture of Minions. So Minions dominated box office last weekend, Bob.
115 million.
Was that second biggest animated opening?
Second biggest animated. I think the first was Shrek the Third, I think, was number one. And it just squeaked by Toy Story 3.
Yeah. Did you see it?
No.
You didn't see it? Bob, you're a big Minions guy. It was not
I know. I
it was not that good.
I was not in Manhattan over the weekend. I was working somewhere else.
It was pretty meh. It was the minions definitely are characters that just need to be your comedic relief, your comedy relief there. Carrying a whole movie just really doesn't do it.
I heard Sandra Bullock was very good.
Yeah, and there was funny moments.
John Hamm.
The Bullock and Hamm and their dynamic in there was really fantastic too. But other than that, it was, you know, I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't anything special. Big thing I want to talk about.
There wasn't a lot there to compete with. Like if you take, what was it we were talking about last weekend with Magic Mike and Terminator opening and Inside Out and Jurassic World both still beating them. If you take the top, I don't know. And granted, it was a holiday weekend, but if you take the top even like 10, 15 movies from last weekend, add them, their domestic grosses all the way together, it's still less than what Minions made this weekend.
Yeah. But kids movie in the summer, you'll get good numbers.
We expected it. Jurassic World, still number two.
Yeah. So this weekend, though, and we've been back and forth on it, I know most of us have, Ant-Man. And I think a lot of us lost heavy excitement after Edgar Wright departed from the project. Some of us have gained a little bit of excitement back and stuff. I know, Tyler, you were talking about the campaign picking back up and showing some fun moments. I still wasn't really digging it until the past 2 weeks. I have caught reviews here and there. I'm seeing them show up on my Google News. And I have not seen – not only have I not seen a bad review yet, I have not seen a mediocre review yet. Everything has been extremely favorable for Ant-Man. So maybe we're in for a Marvel surprise here.
The early consensus is that it's fantastic. So
yeah, and a big – I know a lot of the reasons a lot of people are talking highly about it is – and you know, it's something we haven't really talked about it too much, but I think we've brought it up a little bit and we all feel it that, you know, that Marvel formula is starting to get, the more and more you put Marvel movies out, the more and more you use that formula, it's going to start to, and supposedly this, just like Guardians of the Galaxy, just totally gets away from that formula and helps it be something that's wildly different. But yet still contributes to the greater MCU universe, you know? So the Marvel Cinematic Universe is definitely involved in it. There's supposedly a lot of nods to it, a lot of tie-ins. And then the after credit scene is supposed to be extremely significant. So we will see.
The only consistent complaint I've heard is a complaint you could make about almost every Marvel movie to date. And it's that the villain's kind of meh. But you think back to all the Marvel movies to date, and a lot of them had, for the most part, it's not, the villains were pretty meh. So.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, part of that's probably the problem is that they're trying to build up to these bigger villains, you know, down the road. So
yeah, can't overstep their boundaries. You got to make sure.
I think your best,
the greatest.
Well, not even that. Your best Marvel movie villain so far has been Ronan. Not even, you know, well, Thanos is there, but I would definitely say.
I don't know. Ronan doesn't do much in that movie other than say terrible things and stand menacing.
His presence is very menacing, I guess, is a better way to put it.
He just has a bunch of one-liners. I think your best one to date, I would almost go back to like either Jeff Bridges as Ironmonger or probably the Red Skull.
Okay. Actually, I'll give you both those. I'll give you both those.
I think the thing is once you have the Avengers together, like, if there is a bad guy who's really potentially very dangerous, why aren't the Avengers just taking him down like nobody's business? You know, so they can't be too strong or too powerful because Earth's Mightiest Heroes would come and take care of them. So it's got to be somebody who's difficult for one guy by himself, but maybe not too crazy.
Yeah, which was, I think, one of the misses with Thor the Dark World. Like, there's giant spaceships destroying London, and Thor's apparently the only one who could make it.
The other guys are busy.
The guy not from Earth, right?
the only guy who could make a trip across the Atlantic to stop this. Yeah. Only because he was already there.
All right. Well, we just have a few minutes left, and I really want to cover our huge announcement this week. So Tyler, you brought up, you know, a few big announcements last week that we were excited about. We announced, you know, our sponsorship of Katrina Lott, Rocky Mountain Con, and of course the public debut of the Pro Nerd 100, 100 must-see movies as decided on by a panel of experts. Well, this week we have announced our very first hosted event, as we go to a number of them, and have been involved in helping run some of them even. But this is the first one we are completely hosting out of Denver, Colorado, and that is Project Cosplay.
Woohoo! Hooray!
Tell me more, Iggy.
I'm excited for it. So, of course, Project Cosplay is going to be open to about 150 to 200 cosplayers and about 10 to 12 photographers. Ideally, what we're doing is we're taking the convention experience and removing the convention floor. So it's all photo shoots, panels, and workshops all weekend long. Three glorious days. Actually, two glorious days. Friday is kind of registration and kickoff. But it'll be taking place February 19th through 21st at the Ramada Denver North in North Glen, Colorado, right off I-25. So if you're in the Denver area or you can easily get to the Denver area, tickets will go on sale July 31st for only $35 for cosplayers. And of course, we'll have photographers out that weekend. And guess what? They're shooting all weekend with you for free. And we'll be organizing group shoots. You'll be able to organize group shoots. You'll be able to do individual shoots. We're going to have rooms set up, which is plain backdrops, scenes, poker room. There's an indoor pool. There's a bar. And if you stay at the hotel, you get, I think it's almost like almost $50 off a room per night for the group rate. So you can call the Ramada, tell them you're with Project Cosplay and use the code NERD and you get a single room for $119 or a double for $129.
Breakfast free?
Breakfast is free if you stay at the hotel and you're right there. Considering that it's going to be 2 days of just shooting costumes, wouldn't you want an on-site room to be able to just change costumes pretty quickly in? I don't know. I would if I was going to be in costumes all weekend, but I have a feeling I'm going to be working pretty hard that weekend. Either way, I'm still super excited. Aaron, is this something you're finally excited for tonight?
Huh?
Okay. Well, it's good to know that you're paying attention on the podcast.
Nice that our resident cosplayer is excited about our cosplay convention.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
That sounds it. So we'll move on before you poison this. But
No. I'm like super excited, especially because of all the great photographers who have already signed on. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we already got Weenils Photography and Retouching out of Denver on board. I am, in my opinion, one of the best in the game, in the cosplay game. Of course, the Gregoron Geeks, some great guys down there too that are doing some pretty cool things. Five Dice Photography, which is out of the area. And then Russ Matthews Photography, which we know from over in Kansas City. Mm. He's making the trek out. We haven't even put tickets on sale yet, so I can't tell you in terms of who's going to be there for cosplayers, but we know we've generated a lot of interest, enough so that we're already talking extra space and extra tickets for sale. But yeah, people from...
Super chill.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. And I know besides the cosplay, you know, photo shoots, panels and workshops all weekend. So opportunity to, you know, do tutorials, to do that things, talk panels, to talk, you know, working in groups, sexuality and cosplay, just all kinds of, you know, guides and stuff like that through the panels. A lot of exciting things. I think this is going to be a really cool event. I know most of us will be on hand. We'll have, of course, a table set up with podcast equipment. We'll, of course, be doing our Behind the Cosplays. We can probably get a whole year's worth of Behind the Cosplays knocked out that weekend, by the way, guys. But I think...
now I know why you're doing it.
Yeah, I'm just getting content. Just doing it for content.
I'm going to be working at the registration table.
Okay. It should be a blast. I think it's going to be fun. We love being just in the cosplay community. I will be cosplaying some at Dragon Con, guys, but even though I don't costume a lot, we love being in the community, and it's going to be a really fun experience. I think we got some things to work out. I think we've talked internally about some really, really exciting ideas that we should add to the event. So hopefully we'll be bringing those to you over the next few months. But Tyler looks like he's excited to say something.
No, I just was sitting up.
Okay.
I'm just sitting here going, you're intentionally cosplaying, Iggy?
Yes, I will be cosplaying at Dragon Con. So.
Tell me more, Iggy.
No, I'm leaving it at that. It's a secret cosplay. It may be two secret cosplays, so I don't know.
You tease.
Yeah.
I know something you don't know.
So, pretty exciting. But anyways, I really just wanted to make sure we talked about it on the podcast, Project Cosplay. So you can go to project-cosplay.com. So Project Cosplay, but with the hyphen in the middle, just like you do for Project Nerd. Head there and you can learn more. We do have a Facebook group. If you just search Project Cosplay, we did start a page, you know, a few likes on that page. We haven't really gotten it moving yet. At time of recording, it hasn't been publicly announced yet. In just a few hours, it will be, though. And then we're going to plaster it everywhere. So you will never not hear about Project Cosplay from us again. If you could see the video, you would see how dead serious my eyes are right now. So
It's scary.
They couldn't see because the glare from your glasses and the computer made it.
You had a Kevin thing going on there.
I got you, Iggy. My eyes.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
Elijah Wood is Kevin thing going on there.
Don't believe how serious I am right now. Look at Adam's eyes. That's all I have to say. So, anyways. No, but it's going to be super exciting. Like I said, check out those websites, projectcosplay.com, projectnerd.com, and then, of course, the social media for more. It's just being announced, so it is just on the ground level. And if you have ideas, of course, share them with us. We need to reach out to more people for ideas, sponsors, volunteers, group shoot ideas, and, of course, panels and workshops. So we're super excited about it. I mean, partly because it's our first event, but partly because, you know, we do, you know, we cover conventions and some of the ones we go to, like, half of us don't even get to the convention floor because we're hanging out with the photographers we bring out or whoever and just doing cosplay shoots and just having a good time with the cosplay community. So, hooray. So, I don't know how we crammed that all into like an hour and so many minutes, like an hour, 5 minutes, but we covered Comic-Con International, the Nintendo news. We covered the box office. We covered our first event, Project Cosplay, all in that time. I think we all deserve a pat on the back, guys.
Yay.
Hooray.
All right.
By the way, I just wanted to, you know, give a shout out to Kevin Smith. If you didn't hear, he really had a bad con. He was actually, his panel was on after the Star Wars panel, you know, and all 6,500 people got walked out to the Star Wars concert. So there was absolutely hardly anybody left in the Hall H. Whoa. For his panel.
That sucks.
You know.
What's he promoting? Awesome. His new one, yoga hosers, I think it's called.
Yeah. But yeah, he actually almost had a cancellation. JJ. Almost cancel it. Yeah.
Yeah. Good job, JJ Abrams. No, he's a he's a good guy. I'm sure though, you could check out his podcasts probably to learn more about his content that's coming up. But cool shout out there. So, any other final words for episode 2,
Tyler?
Nah, not really.
All right.
I can talk some more Comic-Con stuff if you want.
He drained it out. Well, there's just not enough time for Comic-Con. We should have done like 5 different podcasts this week just for Comic-Con.
They're making a TV show based on the movie.
Not really, but here I go.
Minority Report, and from everyone that says it's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
We didn't mention Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yes, check out the trailer.
Fantastic.
Do check it out. So on that note, go check out Ash versus Evil Dead. Cue the music, and we're heading out. Right. So until next week.
Same nerd time, same nerd channel.
Exactly right.